So we're looking at tribe. How many of us have been blessed by the series so far? Okay. If you're interested, you know that this particular series was not in my plan, but I've since handed over. I've since been convinced that it's not my church. Verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So we remind ourselves again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. So there is a mark upon you that separates you from the people you interact with on a daily basis. You are a chosen generation, means pre-planned. There was a plan in God's mind that there will come a set of people upon the face of the earth that would live differently, act differently, speak differently. So when he says you are a chosen, remember, that particular thought didn't begin from verse 9. Okay? Go with me all the way to verse 2. It says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may what? Grow thereby. Now, as newborn babes is a figure of speech, because you're not a newborn babe. So he's comparing you to a newborn babe, that a newborn babe never gets tired of the mother's milk. Inside the mother's milk is all the nourishment that the baby needs. So when you approach the word that way, saying all the nourishment you'll ever need, you'll find in the word. Now, so there's a difference between feeding on the word and feeding on the word occasionally. It says, as a newborn babe. You know, that illustration means that a newborn babe doesn't desire amala. He's not looking for meat pie. Shawarma is far from a newborn babe. And if you give a newborn babe pizza, you should be arrested and locked up for a long time. You should be. I mean, the judge that hears the case should look at you without consulting the legal books and just say, as a mother, I hereby sentence you. How do you say baby was? We're just 1 week old. 1 week old. What do you give? Pizza. What else? Shawarma. Someone said that we can afford it. It's expensive food. It's dangerous food. It's dangerous food. It means that diet should be controlled. Now, in God's wisdom, he put all the nourishment a baby will need in the mother's milk. Okay, so scientists have discovered that all the antibodies that the baby will need, all the nutrients, everything inside the mother's milk. Everything. And then day in, day out, the same milk. How come the baby doesn't get tired? Because nourishment is there. So he says, as newborn babies, you should desire. He calls it the word of God, the sincere milk, undiluted, untainted milk of God's word. He says, that you may grow. Now, you know, the same Peter told us in chapter 1, being born, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible, of the word. Word of God that lives and abides forever. That's verse 23 of chapter 1. So he's continuing the thought. Remember, the translators put chapters and verses for ease of reference. So don't let chapters and verses separate the thoughts. You use chapters and verses for reference. So he has already told you this is how you were born. So what do you now do since you were born? And I explained to us what that incorruptible means. It means unfailing, that which can't fail. And of course, you know, Peter is writing from the Holy Scripture. So he's telling you whatever was spoken as a promise carried the life and the substance of God. So all through the ages, it didn't fail in any generation. It has proven its potency by accomplishing what he said. What did he say? You are a chosen generation. He has given you birth now. So whatever God said has come to pass. It has come to pass. Now, the same word now contains details, outlines concerning what to expect. This being that we're looking at, how does it function? The victory coded within you, how does it come out? Because God can't lie. But experiences can lie. So, apostolic doctrine says, as newborn babes, you are to desire, have a longing for the untainted. So, this is the only thing on the earth that is untainted, undiluted. It's exactly what it says it is. No mixture. That's what he's saying. He says, because that is how you will grow. Grow where? In the same spiritual faculty and soil in which you are planted. So let's read on now. See what it says. Verse 3. If so be you've tasted, or since you've tasted the Lord is what? Gracious. You know, John 1:16, it says, and of his fullness have we what? Received. What did you receive? Grace for grace. Say, I've tasted and I've seen And the Lord is gracious. All right. So he says, verse 4, to whom coming? So this is how you came. How were you saved? It was how you came. There's a way you came. You came with a level of reverence. So to whom coming? As unto what? A living stone. Notice, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. So when the gospel was preached, some despised it. Some disallowed it. Some rejected it. But you came towards that gospel with a particular disposition. You came as something that was chosen of God. This is God's plan. So your approach was different. You saw it as precious. You saw it with the eyes of God. God saw this as precious. You also saw it as precious. So you were granted the grace for salvation. Look at the next verse. He says, to whom coming as a living, disallowed even, but chosen of God and precious. Next verse. You also, or the result of that believing, that you also, interestingly, the word lively in verse 5 is the same word in verse 4. It's the word living. The translators were just to be like, okay, can you use the same word for the believer, for Christ, for the believer? It's the same word. The same word living. So, you also, as living stone, say I'm a living stone. Say I'm alive in Christ now. See, I'm made of the same material. I'm God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. All right, so it says, you are built up a spiritual house that is a holy priesthood. So when you look back to the older scriptures, and you notice some people were set apart, they were called holy. They were the priesthood. They were the ones who offered sacrifice and prayers. It now says, that's the shadow. You are the reality. You are God's special or set apart people. And you are to offer up not physical sacrifices, not goats and bulls, not even money. You offer up spiritual sacrifice because your constitution is spiritual. See, my constitution is spiritual. Okay, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So let's go to verse 9 now. So he says, but you are what? A chosen generation, the royal priesthood, an holy nation, a people with a peculiar nature. You shall show forth. So the idea is this. You will come to a place where through growth in the word, you're feeding on the word, you're growing thereby, that growth occasions a showing forth. The spiritual growth occasions a showing forth. So how do we know you're growing? There will be a showing forth. What are you showing forth? Not something God is about to put in. Something God put in at salvation that is now finding expression. So the spiritual growth through occasion is showing forth. That is a display. What are you going to display? The praises of him, or the virtues of him, or the character and the nature of him. The one who called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So notice all those accolades, those tales into conduct and character. There are certain things the world will see when you begin to express who you are. Certain things that's different. It's true that you're more than a conqueror. But the reason why you don't act like you're more than is because there is what spiritual growth should occasion in conduct, in temperament. When you are facing the same situation every other person is facing, you come from a different origin and source. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is what? The victory that overcomes. Even what? Our faith. Hallelujah. Our faith. So, James picks up the same thought. Now we have been going through the epistles, James, Peter, John, they're saying the same thing. So, they first start from your constitution, who you are, what God has done, what we should see manifest through you as a result of what God has done. So you have an account. There's substance within you that you find expression as you stay fixated upon the word of God. That's what he's saying. Look at James now. And I've shared with us that one of the things that make for an interesting read of the epistles is how different the language used by the apostles are. The language is different. Each one of them. As you study, you begin to see their nuances, their preferred expressions. Look at James 1. I'm going to read from verse 2. I'm going to be skipping. So, my brethren, count it all what? Joy. Or look at it as an occasion to rejoice. Now, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. Say there's a knowing. I'm meant to have. As you see the end from the beginning, Now again, why do people faint? Because they can't see the end at the beginning. You won't see the end by looking at the situation. You see the end by looking at God's word. God's word is a predicted many. Now it's not praiseworthy. At the afflictions of the righteous. But is that where the scripture ends? Psalm 34 verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. How does it end? But who? But who? So there is the God factor. The Lord does something. Now, in between what David said is what you are meant to do for the other part to come to pass. But most of the time, you know, we don't want to do anything. You just want to lie down and play dead. Or lie down and call, have a pity party. Everybody just saying, sorry, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, oh. And a part of you is feeling good. That part that is flesh. That's feeling good because it will not make you awaken to who you really are. That means you can be a strong man and appear impotent because you are not feeding on the word of God. So when the Bible says have a steady diet of God's word, it's because inside God's word is a reality bigger than the experience you are facing. That's what he's saying. So James says, you know this, that the trying of your faith, so your faith is tested, listen carefully, is purer than gold. It's like God's word. It has been tried 7 times. It has come out pure. That's the faith you were given. It's the faith of Jesus. There's no situation they cannot contain and overcome. It has already overcome. Say amen. But it's not every time you face a situation that you put that faith to work. It says, knowing this, that the testing of your faith, it will work consistency. And let that patience have its perfect work so that you can be perfect, complete, entire. So that you lack what? Nothing. See, I don't lack any good thing. It's important. Let me say it again. Many times, we teach fruit of the Spirit without mentioning fruit of the Spirit. If you want to ask for another name for this series, fruit of the Spirit. I'm teaching the practical side of fruit of the Spirit, which is you cannot walk in victory without walking the fruit of the Spirit. Because what James is teaching, James didn't list. Paul listed. James didn't list. Jude didn't list. Peter didn't list. John didn't list. But if you follow their writings very clearly, it is woven into the epistles, what they wrote. So when it says counting joy, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. What is patience? A fruit of the Spirit. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith was patience. That is, it just makes you more consistent in your walk with God. That should be the outcome of your faith. It's not designed to make you collapse. It's designed to make you more consistent so that after a while, you have several experiences of victory. You get used to what the outcome of a challenge will be even before the challenge comes. You are that sure that you can give hope and comfort to other saints around you because of your own work with God. It has produced that kind of fruit. So look at what it says again. Jump with me all the way to verse 13. Let no man say when he's what? Tempted. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. Can you see that? So James is laying down apostolic doctrine. Never, ever come to a place where you tell yourself, God is afflicting me. He wants to see if I'm strong. He doesn't need to do that. The strength on the inside is the strength that God gave to you. Say, God himself is my strength. God doesn't need to. So, first of all, jettisoning the very idea that God is putting you through a difficult situation to prove your faith. God never does. He never will. Situations will come of their own accord because you are in this world. Jesus said, in the world you will have what? Tribulation. John 16:3. But in me you shall have what? Peace. So when you face the world, what will you see? Tribulation. What will you find in Christ? Peace. But be of good cheer. I have what? Can you see that? So what would the world push towards you? Tribulation, test, trials, difficulties, because you are in this world. What will Christ give you? Peace. Peace is not in the environment. Peace is given to your heart in the situation. What does that peace do? It's an umpire that rules your heart until you get the results that you're trusting God for. So, see what it says again. It says, so never say, don't let anyone say or come to this conclusion, I am tested. It is God taking me to difficulty. Jump to verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and coming down from the Father of life, in whom there is no variableness in the shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with what? The word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his own creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren. So, on the conclusion of what God has done, of his own will, he gave us births of his own will. That we should be, again, like Peter said, you are a chosen generation, we should be a kind of first fruits, a sample. We should be a display, a kind. He says, everyone who belongs to this company, he calls them brethren. He says, be swift to hear. What are you hearing? God's word. Be slow to speak and be slow to what? Wrath. As we done. It says, for the wrath of man worketh not what? Righteousness of God. Let me pause. Have you been in situations that really upset you before? Everybody will have to say yes. Otherwise, you are not. I'm going to say you are not even in Nigeria. If you are in Nigeria, maybe this last week it happened. And it says, be slow to get angry. The word slow, that doesn't mean take it easy. It means don't get angry. It says, because your anger will not produce supernatural results. Now, you know that does not make sense in Nigeria. Okay, you didn't hear me. Does that make sense in Nigeria? Does that make sense in the bus? Does that make sense at the bus stop? Okay, that's a bit far. Does that make sense at your place of work? When you are blamed for what you did not do, or for what somebody else did, does that make sense? It says that don't get angry. And it says this is the reason. It's not that anger won't come. It says, understand your anger will not produce God's results. What are you meant to do? That statement, as simple as it is, it says, receive it with meekness. Don't argue. Don't say you are not living in this country. No. Don't say, it's like Jesus is not here. If he knows my boss, he will know. And I'm working with the devil. You know, he knows. He said, understand that your anger cannot produce. So, why giving to, what do you really want in saying results? He says, don't you understand your anger can produce what? Godly results. God's righteousness, you can say that the righteousness of God in that situation is God's judgment in that situation. Say, it will not produce it. So, forget, just let it go. Look, see what it says. See what it says next verse. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and what? So, ideas that contradict God's word, it says they are filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, such as giving in to anger. So, before you shout, before you insult, before you curse, before you abuse, before you get angry, he said you are to lay it apart. That word means those things are inside you too, cohabiting with the fruit of the Spirit. Say no to cohabitation. Those things are cohabiting with the fruit of the Spirit. He said you are, now, it's not interesting. Don't say, God, take this thing out of me. Take it out. Take it now. Take it. It's a lay aside. Oh, goodness. We have prayed foolish prayers before. Voting on the floor crying. Oh, God, take it. Take it. Punch me. Punch. When you are praying and you are not reading, you'll be stupid. I'm telling you. If a man will purge himself from these things, he shall be. If a man will purge himself, he shall be a vessel unto honor. If a man will not, God will purge. We know what that thing means. Some of those things are things you naturally desire that are serving as weights. So you are the one that will what? Purge. Too much TV. God, take the love for TV. Take it. Take the love for Z-word. Hey, away. 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 After the prayer, is the first thing you watch. First thing you watch. The love of anything that you are inordinately attached to. There's nothing wrong with the world. Nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong. It is whatever you are inordinately what attached to that is injuring what God wants to do. That's why, depending on level of growth, God doesn't usually give us the same instructions. Have you noticed that? You woke up one morning, that was it. Stop taking coke. He said, I bind you. But you have been praying for health. And he saw 10 years down the line, diabetes will come. With the steady, I mean, even your doctor can't calculate yet. The Holy Ghost is calculating 10 years down from now, with the volume you consume, this is what will happen. It will no longer be Satan. Satan has gone on vacation now. The coke is doing the job. So when he says, lay aside and receive with meekness, you know, when you receive the word with meekness, you receive instructions from the Spirit with meekness also. I mean, even though a man who is submitted to God's word, the one you read, is easier to be submitted to what the Spirit says. Because the word you read is training for what the Spirit will say. And the Spirit will not speak contradictory word. So if you've been used to resisting the written word, you will resist the Spirit when he's speaking. And even though the Spirit wants to lead you and guide you, and sees, because the answer of your prayer is a practical instruction sometimes. You get angry too much. Every time you get angry, you talk to everybody. Stop talking to everybody. Stop reporting to everybody. He's telling you. Have you seen people like that? Anything that happens, some people have gotten. Do you know what she did to me? In this church, people are trying this church. She says she's a Christian. At the place of work, you told 5 people about what your boss did. And God is saying, you are hindering the manifestation of the prayer. Progress can't come like this. The wrath of man does not what? Walk the righteousness of God. You are standing in the way of what the Spirit of God wants to do. Receive with meekness the implanted word that is able to save your soul. The word has already saved you. He says, now receive it with meekness. That is, let it counter every argument on the inside. That's what he's teaching. So look at the next thing he says. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. Doing what? Deceiving your own selves. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror glass. The word natural is the word Genesis. So you see origin. You see who you are in Christ Jesus. You pay lip service to who you are in Christ Jesus. He says you are patient. He says you are kind. He says you are temperate. He says you are good. He says you are full of goodness. He says you are meek. You pay lip service to it. You turn away. You tell people, that's Joshua. Let me show you my color. And he says that you are a hearer, not a doer. That means you are not allowing what is inside to dominate. You are a hearer. I says, if any man be a hearer, not a doer, you are deceiving your own self. That means there are certain things you expect to change. You won't see those changes. So a lot of times when people think that I'm going to deceive the brethren, even that thought is a sign you're about to deceive yourself. Because the brethren are not the ones supervising your results. No. They're not there when your paper scripts are being marked spiritually. They're not there. They're not there when you have to react or respond to situations of life. No, they are not there. You are the one that will either act in faith or act in the flesh. You're the one that chooses which one to do when it comes to situations of life. So he says, if you hear the word and you're not a doer, you are like unto a man. You build your Genesis. This is who I am. The minute you turn away, you neglect what you just saw. He's using an illustration. You neglect what you just saw. Now, remember what Peter told us. Go back to Peter now. I want to go a little bit more into Peter and some of the things that Peter told us. Look at Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Let me read from verse 8. It says what? Be sober. Another word for sobriety is, make sure you're not encumbered in your mind with any thought that can hinder God's word from working. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because... So stay alert spiritually. Stay in the zone of the word. That's what it means to be sober. Stay in the word zone. Stay conscious of supernatural realities. Stay conscious of who you are. Be sober, be what? Vigilance. Because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. So this figure of speech is heavy. Now, if you know anything about lions, you know, this is one of the reasons why you don't call Jesus Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Everywhere you read in the scriptures, you don't see lion being used for anything that is good, except boldness. Aside of that one, it's usually used as a figure for something that destroys, that tears apart. Okay, so lions in the wild, they have a range that their voice or their roars cover, that they announce their presence. And the reason why they do that is to instill fear in the prey. So even though the lion sees far away, it sends out a roar to instill fear. In fact, people who have been in those environments, I say that the roar is really so paralyzing, you would think the lion is actually close by. And I says, because your adversary goeth about is why you should stay sober and vigilant. He goeth about as a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion, as a roaring lion. Seeking whom he may want, devour. Whom resist how? Steadfast in the faith. Now, here's what I want to say. One of the ways for resisting the faith is in the spirit of prayer. Wonder where I went to, everywhere I went today, because this is where I'm really stupid. Is in the spirit of prayer. And there's no time like now that you and I need to be sensitive to the spirit of prayer. It says, whom is this steadfast in the faith? That means there are times when you're surrounded, and everything looks bleak, you have to recall what was delivered to us as saints. It's a ministry of prayer. That means there are things you should never try to contend with in your natural wisdom or in the energy of the flesh. It should be that you are so soaked and immersed in prayer that heaven's signal is reaching you on a constant basis concerning what to do. I shared with you sometime last week that Paul and Barnabas, they took off from Lystra. Where do you think the signal came from? It wasn't every time that Paul fled. That was the only instance where that Paul took off. That means every signal was like, take off now. I heard the story of the Archbishop one day when Amorabas came. With that story from a few people. And he came out and confronted them. And he was the one who arrested them. There was another day they came. God told him, take the back door and go. Now you are not the head of the church. If you are not in prayer, you know what you will say? The God of yesterday is God of today. Then he will now tell you, he's also the God of your future departure. Because you will soon be raptured before your time. A man of prayer knows when the Spirit says, flee. The Spirit says, stay. You are not the one that dictates the avenue of deliverance. He's the one. You're not the one. You're not the one that dictates the avenue of deliverance. There must be a sensitivity in prayer that you pick up when what is occurring is not natural. In Esther chapter 3, we saw some things last week, how Haman came up. Look at Esther chapter 3. Start from verse 5. So when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then this Haman was full of wrath. Now, he was in a political position. He was close to the king. Now, we use some of these Old Testament types to portray a season of prayer and what a believer's reaction or response should be. Look at next verse. So he thought it's scorn. I don't know why King James like that. The word scorn means that he thought that it's like to deal with Mordecai alone is not sufficient. Any and everything that Mordecai represents, let me deal with it. What was the problem? Mordecai wouldn't bow or do reverence because the Jew does not do that. The Jews only bow for God. It's a custom. So it's either, you know what, I'm going to make, instead of dealing with this man, I'm going to destroy the whole race of Jews. So he used political influence and he got the king. Three things happened because of time. He was in the king's favor. He was the king's right-hand man. So he got the king to agree to destroy all the Jews in the land. He needed political power, so the king gave him, sent a royal decree. Secondly, they put it into writing so that it would not be changed. When Mordecai heard, he didn't go and quickly go and bow to Haman. He sent a message to Esther to make supplications. He says, this is not normal. Haman is what you can see, but there's something working behind Haman you cannot see. So you don't take that kind of person and start slandering. I start saying, this boss is wicked. You are missing the whole game. The adversary goeth about as what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist? How do you resist? Physically? No. How do you resist? Steadfast. We react to physically to spiritual things. The sister that's constantly stepping on your toes, you have never called her name in prayer to pray. Sister Mabel, today. Today, today. Enough is enough. Not... whoever touches God's anointed. You're about to pray about God's anointed. That's the statue is God's anointed. Oh yeah, pray. Oh, pray. Pray. The Bible says if you touch the apple of my eye, she is also the apple of God's eye. Two of you apples. Okay, so you are grip. You're about to pray dangerous prayers, and it's really dangerous. It's dangerous for your health. Spiritually speaking. It's dangerous for your health. What are you meant to do? You pray for that sister. You pray that the person stops yielding to negative influences because warfare is spiritual. Warfare is what? Spiritual. A man didn't say go and lobby. Sorry, Mordecai didn't say go and lobby. Mordecai knew how can not bowing to a man make a man decide to extinguish a whole race, exterminate all of them. It doesn't make any sense. So that means there was a force. And when Esther was busy giving excuses in chapter 4, like, you know, there's a decree, there's a political rule, a policy. You don't go to the king except the king sends for you. But Mordecai said, you know, we are Jews. We are different. We operate by a different set of rules. We are the seed of Abraham and we are eternally blessed. He says, make supplications now. He said, now, don't think because you are the queen, you are in the temple, you are in the palace, that this decree will not affect you. And if you hold your peace now, deliverance will arise for the Jews from another soul, because you can't extinguish this race. Something's backing them up. What was he saying? Take your place now, or he will use another. You were put in the kingdom for such a time as this. You know what he was saying, preaching here? Don't miss your placement. Play your role. Somebody else will play your role if you don't place your role. Play your role. Somebody else took Judas's place. Let his bishopric be taken away and given to another. Other than him. And what happened to Judas? It was in prophecy. So Mordecai was speaking. It was like the Holy Ghost telling us. He says, don't think that this thing will not eat you where you are, or you are safer in the palace more than anyone else. He says, if you hold your peace at this time, deliverance and enlightenment will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will be destroyed. So Esther was reminded of who she was. She sent a message back to Mordecai. Gather all the elders. Let them pray. Let no one drink water or food for 3 days. I want to ask you a question. How many of us can do that for 3 days? When was the last time you say wait for food for just one day? Just one day. Day one. And you're not looking at the clock by 12. Huh? It's only 12. Since morning. It's only 12. It's only 12. I don't know why this day is just so slow. Have you noticed that today is just slow? It's your tummy. It's making the day appear slow. You know, some people think that some people just bring fasting from heaven. No, nobody brings from heaven. No. It's a discipline that we all have to go through in order to secure some eternal outcomes. What was Mordecai trying to say? Sensitizing Esther to the season that they are in. It's time to pray. And let me say this. At the back of whatever the enemy is doing, there's also what God is doing. The saint who is not praying will be so focused on what the enemy is doing, you'll be blind to what God is about to do. Because every time the enemy attacks, because God's inheritance are his people, you can do nothing against the truth successfully. But for what? But for the truth. So he told Esther, start praying. Esther said, I will pray. I will go into the king, contrary to the custom. How will you go in? In prayer. I'll be soaked in prayer. I will do what is not lawful to do, because I will have gotten a lawful permission. Hallelujah. I will get a lawful permission. There are many laws that can be broken in the place of prayer. As long as it doesn't favor the children of God. Many that can be broken in the place of prayer. This decree is not favorable. This policy is not favorable. We can change it in place of prayer. But not by lobbying. Some things are beyond the realm of men. It says, resist steadfast how? In the faith. So you can say, Haman was Satan personified. How do you resist the devil? In that place, it was meant to be by prayer. There is a will behind this decree that the Jews should be exterminated. You can either try to approach it politically or handle it in place of prayer. So Haman represented Satan at work, as it has always been, either through Pharaoh, through the Amalekites, exterminating the Jews has always been the goal. Why? That God's blessed people. Jesus now, who knows whether you are in the kingdom for such a time as this? Tell your neighbor you are in the kingdom for such a time as this. To cause changes, only disruptions, to bring about God's will and purpose upon the earth. Now, as a church and as a people, a new season is upon us. We are in seasons of prayer. And the spirit of prayer must rest heavily upon you. For certain things to be wrought, for certain things to change. You cannot do by the arm of the flesh. By strength shall no man prevail. It's not by power, nor by what? By might. But by my spirit, said the Lord. Glory to God. It's important that you understand that. So as they began to pray, 3 days, she was in prayer. When you hear that phrase, tell them to take no food, no water, and I'll pray for 3 days. And I will go in on the king, contrary to the custom. If I perish, I perish. Doesn't mean she was going to perish. It simply means she was resolute. I'm not going to change my mind. It's either I get result, or I get result. There's a posture you have in prayer that guarantees without fear results will come. Somebody says, why? The effect of having prayer of a righteous man. Are you a righteous man? Are you a righteous man? But many are the afflictions of the righteous. How does God deliver? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Avails much. So there is a response that you have to be schooled in. It's a schooling, it's a training. If you take a little bit, what I will call, you go back a little bit, maybe to earlier this year, look back at events that have unfolded, situations you find yourself in. Can you do what I will call, I'm looking for the word now. Just go back a little bit and do a bit of a study and trace your responses, whether they were in light of the spirit or in the energy of the flesh. Just trace it and see. Because many times, it's not that deliverance is not there, it's not that power of God is not there, it's because you responded wrongly. You responded wrongly. So say, gather all of them, let us pray. I will do something, I will go in. And after she prayed, Esther went, we all know the story. We also know that beyond the deliverance for the Jews, and the deliverance for Mordecai, there was promotion for Mordecai, promotion for Esther, and promotion for the nation of the Jews above every other nation under the dominion of that particular king for one single season of prayer. Why did they pray? Mordecai knew, if we call upon the God of heaven, he will answer us. Hallelujah. How much more you and I will call God Father? Say, he's my Father. Say, he's my Father. Now, there are things God can't do until you pray. Because you're in partnership with him. He's not outside of you. You are a team working together to secure eternal results. It's the will of God, yes. It's the plan of God, yes. It's hope of God, yes. But it's not meant to take place without you working hand in hand with the Father. That's how it works. So a lot of times we fold our hands and we're passive. We fold our hands. We're waiting for something to happen when in prayer we're meant to make things what? Happen. Glory to God. So in this season, more than ever before, remember 2 Sundays ago, something came upon us. The spirit of prayer. Because that's the theater of the operations of God. That's the theater of the things God wants to do. We were in the Holy Ghost meeting some years back. And this is not what a minister would like to happen to him. But before we do Holy Ghost meeting, we spend time praying. We're praying. And this man was knocked out by God's power. And he was knocked out until the meeting ended. That means he came to after the meeting ended. So he was planning to go this way. When he woke up, he went this way. Which is where God's plan and purpose was. In prayer, God changes you. He doesn't just change things. He also was changes you. The arguments you have come crashing down. Your way of doing things which you have used for so long, like Jacob, maneuvering, one night of prayer, you come out, you now have power with God and with men. What does that mean? It means now you will get results only God's way, this place of prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, and part of that resisting is you praying by the help of the Spirit. You pray and pray and pray. Somebody says, Pastor, I can't sense anybody. Burden yourself. You have not. If you pray long enough, a burden will come. Somebody says, why? Burdens are always waiting in the Spirit. The Spirit is never empty of burdens. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. The Spirit realm is never empty of burdens. That means there are always burdens to pick up. What the Holy Ghost wants are people, more people you can entrust with those burdens to prayer. And every time that burden falls upon you, I'm telling you, supernatural results are about to come forth. They're about to come forth. Once you are schooled this way, after a while, you're used. Is this a new season? Can you see a challenge? What they just called impossible, you begin to pray. Your step into place of prayer, you're about to resist. Your step into that activity is as though you're saying, God, here's my hand. Hand in hand, let's deal with this issue together. The effectual, fervent prayer. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer. The continued part is not just you. The continued part is the Holy Ghost now taking you and praying to you. How many of you have prayed before? With energy, with fervency, with strength. Let me see that. How many of you have felt like you're not the one praying after a while? I mean, I've been there before. How did it feel like? Let me ask another question. Does it happen to you every day? Which one is more common? It's only 30 minutes, huh? 30 minutes since morning. 30 minutes. Master, mama. I used to practice karate as a sport. And we had a club in University of Badon. I was the coach of the club. I was also an athlete for Oyo State. So anytime I'm out of shape, I'll go to the field at night when nobody's there. So they won't see the way I'm running. Yes, because those who go there regularly, when they see you, they start laughing. They know. They know what the signs. I am going to do about 20 laps. 20 laps on that field is about 8 kilometers. The problem is not 20 laps. The problem is how do I get to 20 laps? Because lap one, you feel like everyone will cave in. I'm about to die. I will soon die. Your heart will be doing... Every step is heavy. So if you struggle to get to second lap, lap two, lap three, lap four, all the time there's a struggle. Your breath comes... You're like, this thing will bust out. Let me, nobody sent me. Let me. But there's competition ahead. You have to get back in shape. There's competition ahead. You have to get back in shape. So I know you have to. So it's better for you to do when nobody's there. You discipline yourself. So you feel like I can quit though. It's not by force. But now you now remember that you are the coach of the club. What will you tell the students when you cannot lead by example? It's the most embarrassing thing in the world for you to do a few things. So, they're like, even coaches, it's something like this. What's going on? And if you are not training for a while, if you make the mistake of going straight to training, the first thing that happens is that the whole world just starts turning. If you're not careful, when you open your eyes and say, sorry, because you are passed out. You are just there. That's when they are resuscitating you for the fact. Sorry, I mean, they're not waking you up because you are passed out. So, to avoid stories that touch, I went by myself as a lamb towards his daughter to the field. By the time you get to lap 13, you stop running, you just start floating. Your body becomes light. After that, any lap you want to do, you can do. Your body comes down. The same thing happens in prayer. First hour is the toughest hour. Second hour is less tough than the first hour. Third hour, fourth hour. If you cross six, and ask those who have crossed 12. Anything is 12 is impossible. I won't sleep. You will not sleep. If you cross 12, something happens. Your inner man is standing up. You see yourself the way you really are for the first time. We didn't know you were like that. You know, one day, as he was fellowshipping, Bigwood's word saw a vision of a huge being appear before him. He ran away. He said, Lord, what's that? He said, that's you. That's how you look in the spirit. And he was running away. That means even who you are is a stranger to you. No. Say, that's who you are. Greater is he as in me than he that is where in the world. That means you have never sighted yourself. If you sight yourself, God's workmanship, you will know why Christ is boasting. Go into all the world. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. All power is given unto me where? In heaven. You will know why he boasted, he sent, and he ascended. It is settled forever. Hallelujah. But restraints are there in the flesh that you sometimes have to break off. To see yourself, you are not a weakling, no. There's nothing weak about you. Your inner man, God's work in Christ Jesus, is strong, is mighty. He's no match for the enemy. You are a colossus in the spirit. Hallelujah. Are you hearing this morning? Yeah. But sometimes you have to pray and labor in prayer until you get to that point where you shed off the outer man. The inner man is standing up. That inner man can see. Is one that will call for 10 years results into next month. Is one that will see next year by the month of June. This and this will happen. Is that inner man who is one with Christ. And he begins to organize with the energy of the spirit. You now know what it means for. It's not by power, not by might. But by the spirit. He knows how to open doors that no one else can close. Because Christ is now holding your hand and says, son, you are where you ought to be now. He's one that opens and no man can shut. But because you are one with him, one spirit with him, he shows you the door and says, say exactly what I've said. Oh, are you hearing this morning? Say exactly what I've said. You see the door open. Long before the incident happened, you will now see that there's nothing important about you. You are God's investment. You are God's landed property upon the earth. Glory to God. The spirit of prayer. Where things change. And the most important thing God changes is you. You see that flesh can't work. You see, when it says laugh, you'll be meek enough to laugh. It says give over what they are struggling for, which is rightfully yours. When your flesh is saying, no, they are cheating you. But Spirit says give. You now learn to what? Let go. There's something bigger. There's something greater than that. You begin to see it. You're on the same page with the Father now. You can see what he's seeing. You have a better view of life. Why? You've taken your position. You've stood upon your watch. You're upon the tower. You write what you see when you're there. Hallelujah. You're participating with the Most High in the affairs of life. This is the season for it. Where people will be caught up in prayer. And you'll see as you really ought to see. Instructions will be given. Commands released through your mouth. Things will rearrange themselves. So what the enemy meant for evil, will be turned around for good. You know what David said? When David discovered, look at Psalm 162. Sorry, Psalm 119, verse 162. I want to show you a progression. Look at what David said. We know a lot of us have read the scripture. I rejoice what? At your word, as one that finds what? Grace for. Look at next verse. We don't usually read one, but let's just read down. So, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Next verse. 7 times a day do I what? Praise thee. Because of what? James says, I am persuaded of your judgments. Your judgments are the outcomes you give to the righteous. You are always right, Lord. You are always right. Do you know, a lot of believers don't agree that God is always right. They don't agree. Turn the other cheek. Eh? With the other cheek. No, I will not. I must show you who I am. I will show you to who I really am. I will show you want to show. And it's not who you are that you really want to show. It's what the flesh says that you're about to show. See what it says now. It says, verse 65. 165. It says, great peace have they which what? Love thy law. And so notice the plan is to offend you. Offense means to cause you to stumble. That's the plan. To get you to stumble in your walk of faith. That's the plan. See, but those who love, who are those who love? I rejoice at your word. As one that what? Finds great spoil. Great peace have they who love thy law. Nothing will cause them to stumble. Look at next verse. David says something astonishing, shortly. Lord, I have hope for your salvation and I've done your commandments. Look at next verse. My soul has kept your testimonies and I what? I love them exceedingly. Go to verse 67. Go back to verse 67. 67. Before I was afflicted, I went where? Astray. But now I have kept your word. Look at next verse. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me your statutes. Next verse. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your futures with my whole heart. Next verse. Their heart is as fat as grease. I'm looking for the scripture that says, verse 71. See what it says, verse 71. It is good for me. That one doesn't sound good. It is what? Good for me. Now, is it good for you to be afflicted? No, answer sincerely. Don't follow David. Now, answer. Is it good for you to be afflicted? So you have to read contextually. What is David saying? It is good for me that I've been one, that I might. So is the learning that David is actually good? It is what I learn. That is, are the prince of this world known? In the Bible says of Jesus, he learned obedience through the things which he won, suffered. That means the suffering was not to learn obedience. The suffering was unto destruction. But what Jesus saw and he got by following God was a learning. That's what David is saying. David said, it is good to me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your ways. So there are ways you operate. I've now learned how your ways work in the process. So I didn't miss the class. I didn't miss the lessons. By following your word, it's called suffering. I was suffering. I was suffering to deny myself of what I call rights and privileges. Because Father says, hold your peace. Don't say anything. I've said it over and over again. I've seen people in situations where they were slandered. And I don't know why. Maybe that's one reason why the Bible says that. The one that sows discord among brethren. There are 7 things the Lord hates. 6 things. The 7th is what? An abomination. Proverbs chapter 6. Have you read it before? See, there are 6 things the Lord hates. The 7th is an abomination. What's the 7th one? The one that sows discord among what? Brethren. So these two are friends. You came. You told tales. The next time she's going to see her friend, she no longer sees that person as a friend. And what you said is a lie. And even when it's not a lie, listen carefully. Some people, what she said about that person 5 years before, which he did not know, which he did not need to know now, but that they are good friends. He went to go and tell her. He just destroyed. And was the seventh thing the Lord hates, the one that sows what? Discord among brethren. When you are slandered, the pain is much. I mean, even on. You feel like telling everybody involved, it's not me, they lied. Here's the difficult part. God now says, hold your peace. Because like, you're not here. You don't work in my office. If you know this place, no, I must talk. Say, so shut up. Shut up. Nobody likes it. Shut up. Don't say anything. Defend yourself. Say, shut up. No, don't do anything. I must show. Opportunity comes. Do yourself. Say, don't do your own back. What should you do? She asks you for something. Give her. Eh? Give who? It doesn't make sense, but it makes God. If you want God's reward to come, a minister of God had some issues in the U.S. some years back, and they lied. Tabloids always lie. Why don't I grant interviews? I learned from older people. They will appeal to you. They've come and see me a few times. We want you to, you know, interview, put in our column. When you finish speaking, and they edit what you have said, you'll be amazed. They will just put it out of context so that it will appear you are saying what you did not say. You know, some years ago, God's servant, Pastor Yadeboye, spoke about how he told his own son, not to have a female secretary, his own son. Shouldn't you know your son? I'm having family discussion in my house. How can you come and tell me what I would do in my family? Imagine you come to my house and say, the way you have put this furniture is not good. What did you say? The way you have done this furniture is not. Can't you see that it's right there? Put this one here. Because I'm born of God. I will escort you. Because whatever you have taken for you came is very strong. I will really escort you out. Because as in, what did you just say? In my house. You come to my house, I go, I said, Jimmy, you're also wearing, no, these kind of things are not, eh? Where? Is she your wife or my wife? I don't understand. Who is she supposed to just please, you or me? I just feel women. You feel women. You're a woman. Not you can't come to you, you know, somebody says in his own to his own family, which may be to the entire redeemed, that their pastor should probably not be. That is their family. You have no right. You have no right. You don't say how can he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to his family. And then they choose the words because that's what will sell. Bad news sells. Gist sells. How many times have I visited them? Pastor so and so, build four houses for. That one does not sell. So you don't like that one. Pastor caught at bus stop, fighting conductor. Here's what you need to understand. A group of people were fighting. A group of people, five. One of them happens to be pastor, so they now single that one out. Pastor caught at bus stop, because that's what we now said. PM News. I hope you understand. So, the slander and misinformation, they are chief tools that the enemy uses. But because they are not natural tools, they can't be handled by natural means. When it says, hold your peace. Hold your peace. What did Haman say to the king, to get the king's ear? There's a group of people. It's a lie. They don't follow the law of this land. They are not obeying the king's precepts. And as a matter of time, they are going to cause an insurrection. So give me opportunity and give an instruction that on so and so day they should all be this. It was a lie. Did you hear Mordecai say, go and tell the king it's a lie? Oh, it's lie. Say, no, he said, pray. He said, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. And the one that dug a pit fell inside it because he prayed. Hallelujah. So even when it comes to a boss, I've said many times before, I once had somebody that was constantly harassing. I was my landlord, constantly harassing, constantly. And I endured it for a long time. Long suffering and to suffer long are not the same thing. You can suffer long, it's not long suffering. I just suffering long. You know? One is fruit of the spirit, the other one is trials of the flesh. It's not the same thing. You can suffer, I was just suffering long until I woke up and said, wait, there's no natural person now. Why should this person? So I just woke up on it, I just prayed. I just spoke some things in prayer. From that time forward, we'll just be greeting me. The harassment stopped. Now, the temptation was, everywhere I go, criticize the man. That man, terrible man. That man, bad man. The weapons of our warfare. and not carnal. But that what? Mighty to God to pronounce stronger. So in the season that we're in, I want to implore you. The spirit of prayer is upon the church. Learn to settle and sort most things out by prayer. Learn not to take decisions or steps without having what? Prayed through. Now, if you've been lazy in prayer, I beg in the name of the Lord Jesus, wake up now. I can't come to each of your houses to find out whether you're praying. We even instituted through COVID that time how people should pray every day, just to give you what you call a pattern so that you can be praying. Because after a while, if you're used to it, adventures with God will be so frequent, you will know this is how to handle what? Affairs of life. As a pastor, I can't pastor without praying. It's supernatural work. I've been at crossroads many times in life. I've been situations where I did not know what to do. I am flesh and blood just like you are. I am. I've received news that wasn't too savory many, many times. What do I do? I've been going to visit church members before and I was saying, Lord, I was crying and telling God, what do you want me to say? When I get there, you're the one that said, what do you want me to say? And he told me, when you get there, say this. So you can't do these things without the help of God. It's pride to think you can. The times will come when the knowledge of scriptures that you know will fail. But prayer will fail. Prayer never fails. Prayer is a posture of humility that says, God, take it over. Lord, I can't handle this. I can't do this myself. Take it over. Your husband is misbehaving. Your wife is misbehaving. Contrary to the way normally her. Maybe you have been criticizing. You have been nagging. Your nagging hasn't worked. It hasn't worked so far. It hasn't worked so far. You will be there, it hasn't worked. Why don't you trust God in prayer? Hallelujah. To get the best. Why are you watching the situation? You're just watching. It's getting what you're just watching. Oh God, oh God. May God have mercy. That's not prayer. You do something to pray so that the Spirit's aid and help will be available for you to push through the difficulty and the situation until what God wants, God's judgment, God's statutes, will be made manifest in that situation. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands this morning. And let's thank him. Let's make it a resolution to pray. In this season, in the name of Jesus, say, I will pray. Say, I will pray. Say, I will pray. I will give myself to praying. I'll pray more. I'll pray more. I'll pray yet more. And when I finish praying, I'll pray again. I will not be weary in well-doing. The well-doing called prayer. I will give myself to prayer now. There are things Father wants to do. In me and through me, those things will be done. Those things will be accomplished. Because I'll give myself to praying. I'll give myself to prayer. I will ensure that in the days ahead, every step I take, everything I plan to do, I will baptize those things in prayer. Yeah, prayer will not be a second option. It will be a first option for me. It will be my lifestyle. Yes, I've been praying before, but I will do it much more now. I'll be sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. I'll be sensitive to the pointing of my Father. I will awaken to the things that he wants me to do. The inner man of me will rise up. It will rise up. It will contend for the faith. It will contend for the purpose of God. It will contend for the plan of God. My life is not haphazard. My life is scripted in Christ Jesus. There is victory for me. There are things Father will help me do. There are people to meet. There are places to go. There's a country. There's a location to be in. There are things the Father has in mind for me to do. I will pray. I will press through the place of prayer. The strength of God will enable me to overcome. I'll push forward. I already have power with God and I have power with men. In the place of prayer, the will and plan and promise of the Father through me will find expression. These are the days of heaven upon the earth. The will of my Father will be wrought. His grace will be seen. His power made manifest, and Christ will be exalted. I will give myself to prayer. Glory to God.